At that time, a young man came up to Jesus, kneeling and saying, "Good teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? One there is who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, nor steal, nor bear false witness, but honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it will be hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I want to focus on the first question in this passage and the last question. The first question, "Good teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And the last question, "Who then can be saved?" Recently, someone came up to me and said, "Father, I went on a mission trip, and someone on the trip, they're all Christians, or most, well, yeah, they were all Christians, came up to me and said, 'Are you saved? Are you saved?'" And as an Orthodox Christian, she wasn't 100% sure how to respond to that. And I thought, you know, that's a very good question. I'm not sure, caught flat-footed, I would know how to respond to that, but for her coming and asking me this question. And I responded to her and I gave her an answer. And I thought, you know, it ties in so well with this gospel lesson. I want to share that lesson or that advice, suggestion, onto you, because you may hear this at school, or you won't hear it at church. Well, you hear it from me, but you hear it at school, you hear it out and about. So if someone comes up to you and says, "Are you saved?" The answer is yes. I was saved at my baptism. I am being saved in the ongoing process of sanctification, of growing in the faith, of growing closer to God, of illumination, of theosis. And I will be saved at the second judgment when our good and loving God rescues me, sinner that I am. Was, am being, will be. And that highlights a real difference in Orthodox Christianity and those who ask, "Are you saved?" "Are you saved?" implies once and done. Boom, that's it. You make a decision, you're good to go. Now, granted, those who ask that question also teach that you have to love God and love your neighbor and continue in a Christian walk. But they don't emphasize it nearly to the degree that we do. "Are you saved?" is once and done. Let me ask you, if you're married, you got married on your wedding day, you said, "I do," but that was just the beginning of your marriage. You said, "I do," but you're still married, as sometimes we are painfully aware, right? I should hear a chuckle there. Okay. Right? It's alive. It's real. It's not something you did 10 years ago or 10 days ago or 10 weeks ago. It's alive and it's ongoing, and sometimes it's awkward. That's okay. Guess what? The Christian walk is the same way. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. And believe me, I feel your pain. I'm there. Things come up. Father calls me, and you can't say no, and you've got to do it. Guess what? That's growing up in the faith. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Nobody said it was once and done. So that's a real difference. Orthodoxy sees the Christian walk as an ongoing process. It's very organic. It's very holistic. We are like a plant. I mean, how many times in the Scriptures does it refer to organic things? We are the vine. Christ is the root, and we are grafted into Him. What do growing things do? Well, they grow. Organic things grow. Now, sometimes they are pruned, right? Right? The Pharisees, it's a little pruning action going on there. And the scriptures warn us, if God, the master gardener, would prune from that which was closest to the root, do you think he would prune that which is a wild branch that was grafted in? That is us? Yes, he will. So it's a process where we grow in faith and hope and love towards God. It's not once and done. It's not static. It's dynamic. If you study any Greek, dynamism, moving, power, growing, alive. What is static? Things that are dead. They don't move. We are alive in the faith. So if someone asks you, are you saved? Yes, I was at my baptism, which is the beginning of the Christian walk. I am being saved through the ongoing sacramental life of the Holy Spirit. Sacramental, boy, that's a big word. How many syllables? What does that mean? The Holy Spirit. That's what sacramental is. The mystical, unexplainable. We take it by faith that the Holy Spirit is here, changes that bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and that we take it into ourselves, and we are transformed slowly but surely, internally, into the image and likeness of God. It is a lifelong process. We can't explain it, and we don't really try to. We accept it on faith. We accept it on faith. Now, some of those who are fond of asking, are you saved, will also say, well, I just need Jesus. I just need Jesus. I don't need all this other stuff. I don't need all these sacraments. I don't need all these robes. I don't need that stuff. I just need Jesus in my Bible. The people who say that are usually pretty well versed in the Bible. They usually read it, study it. They usually know it fairly well, or they're familiar with it. I wouldn't, as an Orthodox priest, say they know it, because obviously I disagree with their conclusions, but or some of them. But they will say that. Well, I just need my faith and my Bible, and I'm good to go. You know, wish you well, but I'm going over here. That opinion, that approach, contradicts New Testament teaching. Christ is the head of the church, his body. You cannot say you love the head and reject the body. That makes no sense. That's crazy. You can't say, oh, yes, Christ, I love you, but all your brothers and sisters, well, I don't need them. That rejects New Testament teaching. So if you say that all I need is Jesus and the Bible, then you're not really following the Bible because you're rejecting the church. Now, if you make that point, and then they'll come back. It's like a tennis game, you know. You hit one of these, and then they hit it back, and you've got to hit something else. And I don't like getting into those kind of discussions because it can be intense. It can get confrontational really quickly, and I don't like that, especially if I'm flat-footed. But then they'll say, well, the church got lost somewhere in the midst of time. And this came up. I mean, you think I'm kidding. This came up for me over Thanksgiving dinner one time with a family member. Well, the church got lost. You know, Constantine legalized Christianity, and I don't know, they got, you know, I don't know, corrupt, whatever. We don't have to listen to the church anymore. And, you know, I'm sitting there at the Thanksgiving table, and I don't know how to respond to that, so I'm reading, I'm thinking. Well, here's the answer. It goes back to the same New Testament that the person who told me this I know believes. If Christ is the head of the church, he also said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So if Christ is our leader, if he is our defender, if he is out front, then you tell me how the church got lost. You tell me how Satan and the devil tricked the church and led it astray if we are led by Christ and filled by the Holy Spirit. That contradicts the New Testament. You can't have it both ways. Now, there are various historical reasons why the people who advance those positions want it both ways, and some of those I'm sympathetic to. For heaven's sakes, they're my forebearers if I go back far enough. But that doesn't make the position correct. It doesn't make it long-standing. So all that being said, I agree with them that, oh, something got lost, something is not trustworthy, but it's not the church, it's not the body of Christ, led by Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the individual. The people who make those complaints are right about their diagnosis, but they misapply it to the wrong source. They apply that to the church, they should apply it to the individual. Anyone as individuals are very easily led astray, deceived by the passions and desires that so easily tempt me and you. I know, whether it's chocolate or whether it's greed, it's there. We are like sheep. We are so easily pulled astray. It's the individual we cannot trust. The body is where we find our hope. So you may say, how then can we be saved? This is what the disciples asked, the last question. Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men, that is, by yourself, it's impossible. But with God, with Christ and His body, the church, all things are possible, including our salvation. Glory to God.